Well, this morning, our message is going to be coming out of Luke chapter 21, verse 25 to 36, which I think falls quite in line with our last song here about inviting and preparing our hearts for Christ's return. And so if you have your Bibles with you, or you can follow on screen, it's Luke chapter 21, and it's starting from verse 25. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and the heading starts off, "The Coming of the Son of Man." "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the seas and waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. But the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And then it carries on, and he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And then verse 34, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." I want to take this moment as well to thank our volunteers for helping to decorate our sanctuary for this Christmas season. So could we just give them a hand? Thank you. Thank you for sharing your time and your gifts to do this. You know, I'm assuming that by now most of us have already decorated our home spaces or workplaces for this Christmas season. My family did that yesterday. And I think as we think about decorating our spaces, I think it builds up our expectations for this Christmas season, does it not? For children, perhaps it's an anticipation of a desired toy or a book or a game or clothing. Perhaps for some of us, as we look at all the decorations, it builds up an expectation towards that favorite Christmas dish that's only served only at this time of this year, that brings us back to a cherished memory or a place or a person, just the way Mom made it. But for others, perhaps, Christmas, as we look at all the decorations and the festivities that goes around, it's not really something we look forward to, perhaps because it brings up experiences we would rather forget. However we feel about Christmas, we can acknowledge that it is a season of expectation. And so my question for us today as we dive into this message is, what are we expecting this Christmas season to be like for us? Well, as many of you know, last weekend I was away in Toronto with my daughter, and we actually have a picture here to show you. And she was there because she was attending the Taylor Swift concert. Yes, exactly. Yes, that is a small glimpse of what the reality was like. It was a year and a half in the making of anticipation. Trust me, she was literally counting down the seconds that we were going to be there. And when she got there, she was like, "I can't believe I'm actually here. I'm actually in the presence of Taylor Swift. We're breathing the same air." Wow. But honestly, though, it was quite the spectacle, and I'm so glad that the reality lived up to the hype. You know, it had become less about actually going to a concert to see a favorite performer, and was really more about being part of this phenomenon that was called the Eras Tour. They almost need to print a T-shirt that says, "I went to the Eras Tour, and all I got was this T-shirt." You know, the desire to be a part of this phenomenon was so strong that there were people flying in from different states and provinces and even countries that didn't have tickets and were just showing up at the actual event hoping to get tickets at the gate, right? There were people standing there with these giant cards saying, please give us 2 tickets, or do you have extra tickets, things like that. And it just was like, wow, like, I really hope some compassionate person would really willingly part with these prized tickets. And honestly, in my heart, I wish I had extra tickets to give. However, as I reflected on this very tangible desperation to be a part of this concert, I almost wish that there was a similar tangible desperation for God and to be a part of this phenomenon that is the miracle of His Son's birth. You know, unlike Swifty fans who had to pay hundreds or thousands of dollars, as mentioning to me, somebody she knows sold their ticket for $30,000. I don't know why I would spend $30,000 for a ticket. But to be in God's presence, to put this in context for us in our passage today, is that being in God's presence is free. Isn't that great news? You don't have to pay thousands of dollars to be in God's presence. As Romans chapter 5:15 says, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. In our multicultural society, we're very encouraged to celebrate various festivals and holy days at this time of the year. We now have Diwali at the end of beginning of November. We have Hanukkah, we have Kwanzaa, and of course, we have Christmas. Perhaps this may sound a little weird for you as I share this story of my experience of Christmas before I became a believer in Christ. But growing up in Malaysia, where I was born and raised, we grew up thinking that Christmas is just for Christians. And it was really easy to arrive at this conclusion because being a multicultural country or multi-ethnic country, there were certain holidays that were specific to us, to the different ethnic groups that we had. So Ramadan, which is the holy time for the Muslims, which were predominantly Malays, that was what it was. Ramadan was for Muslims. Diwali was for Hindus, which was mostly celebrated by the Indians. And then, of course, Lunar New Year was for the Buddhists, or who were mostly Chinese. We were encouraged to participate in these festivities, but it was very clear that these religious holidays really belong to each specific ethnic group. Christmas was the only holiday that did not have this distinction. Although the idea of Christmas was really the North American export of Santa Claus, Christmas trees, and of course the Charlie Brown's Christmas special. That's what it was for us when we think about what Christmas was. For most Canadians, Christmas is a time for festivities and fun. Whether they'll get together with their families for dinner, which is what most Canadian families are expecting at Christmas time, is to get together with their families for dinner. It's 89% of us. Set up a tree, 77%. And hanging stockings, which is 57%. 1 in 10 Canadians actually view Christmas as a religious holiday. And only, and I feel this is really sad, that only 44% are a little excited about the season of Christmas. Can you guess what the top reasons are for why people dread Christmas? Anybody want to shootout? No one to celebrate with, yeah? Commercialism? Anybody else? Expensive. Wow, Sheila, she must have read the same report because that's exactly what it is. It's the number one reason people, most Canadians dread Christmas is because it's too expensive. It creates too much stress and anxiety. And as Effie said, missing people at Christmas. Most Canadians are not embracing the expectancy of Christmas, which is the celebrating the birth of his son Jesus, nor even that Jesus will come again. We have forgotten that Christmas is not just for Christians, that Christmas really is for everyone, is for them, and Christmas is for the world. Returning back to our text today, it is part of Jesus' teaching on the signs of the end times. It feels like he's addressing, really, our present reality. It's a passage that speaks of turmoil, uncertainty, and the coming of the kingdom of God, and may seem heavy, but carries a profound message of hope, encouragement, and the call to embrace expectancy for those who follow Jesus. Jesus begins with a very vivid description of the cosmic disturbances, signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and the roarings of the sea and the waves. The power of heavens will be shaken. This is not just a description of physical events. It is also a reflection of the upheaval we experience in our lives. Have we not in our lives faced moments of personal crisis, loss, suffering, and in confusion. And in those times, it may feel like the world around us is falling apart. In verse 26, Jesus speaks of people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. How often do we too feel overwhelmed by the challenges we face, whether global or personal? How easy it is to live in fear when we fix our eyes solely on the turbulence around us. And yet, in the midst of the storm, Jesus calls us to look beyond the immediate to the promise of redemption. Jesus does not leave his disciples in despair. He promises that after these signs, the Son of Man will come in a cloud with power and great glory. This is the ultimate hope of the Christian, Christ's return. And while the world may tremble, those who have been faithful to him can look up with confidence, for the redemption draws near. Verse 28 reminds us, now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. In other words, as the world falls apart, we have the chance to rise above it, to stand firm in the hope that Christ is near. Jesus then tells a parable to help us understand how to live in light of his return. He points to the fig tree whose leaves, when they sprout, signal the arrival of summer. And in the same way, when we see the signs that he has described, we can know that the kingdom of God is near. The fig tree's budding is a reminder of God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promises. The seasons change according to God's perfect timing. And just as we can trust that summer follows the spring, we can trust that Christ will return in God's appointed time. The fig tree teaches us to be alert and to recognize the signs, but also to trust in God's plan, knowing his timing is always right. Jesus concludes this passage with a strong exhortation to be watchful. He wants us not to be weighed down by the distractions of life, the cares, the pleasures, and worries that can cause us to lose sight of the bigger picture. He cautions against becoming complacent or preoccupied with things that ultimately don't matter in light of eternity. Jesus calls the disciples then and now to embrace expectancy. He has come once. He will come again. Can I have an amen to that? He has come once. He will come again. And verse 36 challenges us, be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is an invitation. Advent is an invitation to invite us to live with a sense of expectancy, not of fear. It is a call to prayer and to vigilance. It is a call to keep our hearts and minds focused on the return of Christ, trusting in His grace to help us endure to the end. Going back to the beginning of Luke, Luke chapter 1 narrates the story of John the Baptist's birth. We're told that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in the sight of God, but were childless. The passage tells us that Zechariah is chosen by lot to enter the temple, which was only at a specific time of the year, to light the incense. And then while in this sacred space, he's visited by the angel Gabriel and given a promise that Elizabeth will bear a son who will herald the birth of God's son. Now, despite Elizabeth's age, she welcomed this promise, which mirrored the heart's cry of the people of Israel for their long-awaited Savior, who came in the person of Jesus, both for the Jews as well as for the world. I love the fact that the expectancy of the Israelites was Israelite in the experience of the human birth. The birth of a child is highly anticipated and welcome, though it is accompanied by pain, but the reward is filled with joy. For Christians, the Christmas season is a celebration of God's promise of sending a Savior and to live with both hope and watchfulness for His Son's return. We're not called to retreat into fear or despair. Nor are we called to wait passively for Christ's return. We're called to live faithfully, to stand firm in hope, and to be active in prayer and in our witness to the world. We live as people who know the end of the story and invite others into this story, which is the promised victory of Christ, which is why Christmas is not just for Christians. People used to say Elizabeth was barren, but no more. Friends, if you're here today and you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus, do you believe God is capable of changing the narrative of your story? Can you embrace the idea that He wants to do such a thing for you? What if you engaged your faith this Advent season? Decided to believe for the impossible? Prioritize things you know are necessary? And what if you dare to lift your requests before the Lord? Are you ready to dream again? It's time for expectancy to come back. Let me say that again. It is time for expectancy to come back. For the faithful, let us step out of the hustle and bustle of the season. Let us find a quiet place to rest and reflect. And what comes to the surface for you? How have life's challenges or detours impacted you? Are you mad? Are you sad? Are you expectant and glad? You know, it takes spiritual maturity to embrace holy contentment and holy expectancy simultaneously. But great things happen in the heart of the one who holds fast to the faith, the peace, and gratitude, all mixed with an essential dose of expectant hope, which is what we celebrate on this first Sunday of Advent. As William Carey, the father of missions, modern missions, used to say, attempt great things for God. Expect greater things from God. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, this morning, we want to lean into this message that we want to live with expectant, embracing expectancy. Lord, we have already witnessed, we know of the coming of your Son, Jesus. And now we look forward to, even at this Advent season now, this new year, this new Advent season, to live with expectancy of your Son's return and the good news that that is. Lord, as we look around the world, we know there is much to be restored with all the conflict and the turmoil and the chaos that we see. And that, Lord, we feel that this is all there is and that we just want to escape. But that's not what your word teaches us. That's not what your Son Jesus said in this passage this morning, that we are to live with expectancy and knowing that your Son is victorious. He will return. He will restore this earth. And so, Lord, may we lean into expecting, Lord, into expectancy of what you will do in us and through us for your kingdom's purposes this Advent season. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.